ITT case where, God knows, we have your position as clear as we could with Mr. What's his name over there.
Clear.
And John has said because ITT is involved, he's not involved because he's got a conflict of interest going back to the old law firm. Supervising a parent's work. It's a Grinnell case. It involves an attack on conglomerates on a theory which specifically had been contemplated by the Johnson administration and laid aside as to the business line from the
Mississippi.
And all of them have to just have a mark for you. Well, they filed a notice of appeal. If we do not file a statement of jurisdiction by tomorrow, the case is dead. The Justice Department.
They're not going to file.
Well, I thought that was your position. I've been trying to give them signals on this, and they've been horsing us pretty steadily. Janine,
statement of jurisdiction.
Right.
I don't know anything about the case. Don't tell me anything about it. I don't know about Janine. I've been in, and I don't know if I know their IDD is bad, good, or indifferent, but there's not going to be any more antitrust actions as long as I'm in this chair.
There's one
guy that we're going to stop.
All right, this is the other one that you can talk to John about tomorrow on the networks.
Well, I don't want to do that for other reasons.
Well, that's right.
This is the wrong time.
These are all coming together.
We wanted to do that at another time.
Okay, but that's all coming together, you see, at this one time. So, it's important.
This one, he's just in your town.
Yeah, he's in his office. I just talked to him about an hour ago. And
we'll take care of it.
Okay. Beyond that,
John.
In this truck,
Chicago, you know, India bus,
which I great club deal with it. I'd like to get you to ripple through it.
Sure, I will.
But there's a section on the question of, is there something new about the economy today? Has business become more monopolistic and so on? And I go through the various studies of many instances that they add to the sharpness of competition. because they acquire a relatively small firm, they give it muscle, and they send it into competition and make the market work better. At least this is the general posture that I'm taking in this talk. How we use it, the evidence. I'm not a lawyer, I don't know all of that side of it. From the standpoint of the economics of it, I'd be the last to say we should not continue pursue the antitrust laws in the proper way. But I think the conglomerates have taken a long time.
Listen, this is the problem. The problem is you wear the national boss to the little antitrust lawyer in Chicago. Now you come in, all these bright little bastards have worked on the antitrust for years and years and years. And any business with a passion, any business, have taken over. They have taken him over. Then, of course, McLaren is the man. They go in, the client is busy, must be judges. Mitchell is busy doing other things. So they're great old Google. I got him not going to do it. I mean, the client is the only thing. They have deliberately gone into a number of areas which have no relationship to whether it's a question of operating more efficiently or the rest, but it's simply a question of technically. They're going off on the kick. It'll make them big goddamn trust busters. That was all right 50 years ago. 50 years ago, maybe it was a good thing for the country. It's not a good thing for the country today. That's my view. We've been through this track. They've done several of them already. And raised holy hell with the people that we do. Janine, now he's no contributor. He's nothing to us. I don't care about him. I've only met him once, twice. I can't understand what the trouble is.
Well, it's McLaren. McLaren has a very strong sense of mission.
Good. He's getting out. One off.
Strong.
He's not going to touch either. He is off of the damn government. Just like that regional office man in San Francisco. I put an order in the hall today. Today. Anybody that didn't follow what we did on the earthquake is to have his ass out. Unless he is a Republican hack or something?
No, I don't. Don't even know who he is.
How? And that's ridiculous that he went through there. One, five applications out of 4,000 in process, and he didn't follow what we said. You've got to be a little bit more effective here. You're going to get a discipline down. Oh, I know what my bearing is. He believes this.
Yeah.
I know. What the hell? He wasn't elected in.
That's the point.
He's here by stopping.
That's the point.
He is not going to stay on a minute. Because he's going after everybody. You know, why the hell doesn't he go after somebody that do?
That's been a suggestion. Your television stats is apparently pretty good. They, we got a narcotics show on. Called O'Hara, United States Treasury. And it had a hell of a rating.
It's first O'Hara, what's it called?
It's called O'Hara, the United States.
I saw it.
They sent it over. They got a 28 in 70 cities on its Nielsen. So it's apparently pretty popular.
Holds up.
So
all those spy shows get great things.
Yeah.
Anyway. It was a good show. It was a, like all those things, my God, they have their guys chasing people with airplanes and all that sort of thing. I don't think it quite worked that way, but at least they should really bring this stuff in.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Well, it's a 13-week series. It'll be going on now. I don't know. You asked for a PR plan on crime. The
cooperation.
Well, we've got our boys working on it. It's going to take a little time because we're shifting into another phase on this whole thing now.
What's the crime now?
Well, crime statistics are going to start running against us regardless of
because
of the entry of more and more kids into that, 15 to 20 age bracket. They expect that burglaries and robberies, for instance, are going to go up 30% in the next 2 years just from the number of 15 to 24 year olds that are going to increase. We're going to have that many more. So just statistically, the probability is that we can't on that program. But there are a lot of other things that we can do, and we're trying to gin up a bunch of stuff on it. other aspects of crime that we can get into, other than
how much crime is here.
We're still doing pretty well there.
Let's try to knock that down. That's where we have a responsibility, and then blame the state.
We can do that. And we've been working with Wilson on some more things that we can do here. But George and I are going to talk a little bit about our District of Columbia situation, and we're going to have to be sure that our management of that is very tight. Because the only way that we get these results is by just really keeping on top of these guys every day. So anyway, there'll be set a crook, and there'll be something coming
through. He's in charge of the district.
Mayor and Nathan right now, and then been to the mayor, and Watt, the deputy mayor, who's kind of sitting there, and the chief of police, and the lines go to each one of those folks separately. And we work on each one of them differently. We'll be done here in the district. I think we can. The PR campaign itself, that's going to take a little more time than has been allowed.
So could you pair with us?
So good. Anyway, so.
Well, you're going into drugs. I just want to be sure that we.
Well, the mafia, the organized crime thing, we showed quite a lot of action. Bombing thing, they're going to bring in the capital bombing case one of these days. They think they know who did that. There's a grand jury cranking up on it. It's the same with Bernadette Dorn, Randy Davis bunch. And they've got an informant, and they're working on it, and they're beginning to develop their lines on that. They're about to bust the FBI burglary in that branch office. And that comes all back to the barricade crowd.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
That's the term.
Yeah. And they've got to re-indict all that barricade bunch of conspirators on a broader indictment basis. That has to do with subverting the whole selective service system. And each one of these burglaries and each one of these destruction of files and all that fits within the larger context. So they're going through another grand jury proceeding right now on that. There'll be quite a lot of activity on that kind of extreme violence front, even though the street crime thing is not going to show up very well. We have to put our accent where we can. And the prison thing, the court reform thing, and those other things that are really significant but are less sexy, we'll continue to push along on. And there's some things we can do there. Like prisoners. Well, the kind of thing we're talking about, where you visit this facility, and some of those things can begin to point at some of these areas and your interest in them, and so on. We'll be coming at you. Perfect. Suburban housing. Supreme Court decided a case the other day called the Lackawanna case, Lackawanna, New York. That's a case where the court found, as a matter of fact, the zoning rested on a racially discriminatory basis. Struck the zoning down. I think there's enough in that decision that you can say, okay, we now know what the law is. Supreme Court decision. We now know what the law is. So we're going to enforce the law, and that's going to take care of all these associated problems here.
What does it do again?
Well, in effect, it announces the law with regard to racial discrimination in the location of housing, federally assisted housing.
And says what?
Says that the trier of fact will determine whether or not there was a racial motivation for the exclusion of this. If he finds that there was, then it's illegal. If he finds there wasn't, then it isn't. And so this comes down to a question of fact in each case for the court, for the trier of fact. The court is the proper forum for this. It's not the administrative officer in HUD. So I think we can make something that will be along the lines of your basic thinking.
Yeah, because it's down the middle of the case.
Well, it is down the middle. What it says is that every one of these is a separate case to be decided on its own facts by the court.
You don't have that national.
You don't have a national decision done on the military basis by the Department of Justice. Well, it says the blackjack case ought to be litigated. And all of these cases ought to be.
This is the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court denies it.
Tommy know this?
Well, he knows the case came down.
Does he understand it?
I think so. I think he does. But I've held everybody off pretty much and said that this thing is now in process.
Right.
And we're just holding it there. But I got to make a trip for West.
Denied certiorari,
so we don't know. Circuit court was a very strong opinion. And probably good law, by the way.
Court finally decided not to get into this.
Yeah,
that's good.
Now, about the first of next week, we're going to be in shape to start drafting a policy statement on this, if you wish. The other thing we could do is simply make an announcement that, as far as the Blackjack case itself is concerned, in view of the Lackawanna case and some of these other considerations, we're going to take the position that the party should litigate these without the intervention of the Department of Justice.
In fact, the main point is to keep us out of it if you can. I mean, it's a can of worms. No way you can. I prefer it, of course.
Once you get, but then the question is, does the Department of Justice intervene in all those cases, you see? And once you start that, so, what we're trying to do is to begin to draft a concise statement.
A concise statement
that says,
sort of resists. Waffles if it gets out of it.
Well, we're not going to be permitted a very good waffle, I'm afraid. It's going to be subject to tremendous scrutiny. But we'll try and make it as tight as we can and indicate why it is that the federal government cannot be intervening in every way.
One of the reasons, George, that you've got to act on that SBA guy, I don't care if he's a kid with a guy with 18 kids, is we have no discipline in this bureaucracy. We never fire anybody. We never reprimand anybody. We never demote anybody. We always promote sons of bitches that kick us in the ass. That's true in the State Department, it's true in the ATW, it's true in OBM, it's true in police office, and it's got to stop. This hall deliberately did not, I read a memorandum, he did not carry out an order that I personally gave. I wrote the order out of the first way. The son of a bitch did not do it. Now, I don't care what he is, get him out of there. Get him out of San Francisco, and he's ahead, he's got a role. I rolled puppies. They were aware of the fact that I know that Puppy wasn't in there long enough to know where the trouble was. This guy in San Francisco was the head of the office. He was incompetent. I'm sure it wasn't deliberate. He was either incompetent or deliberately just didn't do it. So, but the main point is, now, as I told Haldeman, it's got to be done with publicity and let it roll. So that, as it warned a few other people around in this government, that we're going to quit being a bunch of goddamn soft-headed managers. Everything, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. That's the trouble with McLaren. McLaren thinks he's going to do everything. Hell with him. I mean, we're willing to go along with it, but he cannot deliberately just thrum his nose at everything that comes from this office, John. He's not that big. And, of course, John Mitchell won't stand up to him. sell it. So, maybe he's in the regional office, find him only. Or send him to the Guam regional office. There's a way. Get him the hell out. We are going to have a revenue sharing hearing starting in fresh on rural revenue sharing.
Yeah.
We talked some time ago about
rural revenue sharing.
Yeah. And it comes up as a result of some hearings that have been set in the Senate for economic development, and they shifted over to this financial. We talked about John Connolly being the Conservative Administration Admiral on this. This would be a place for him to sort of kick it off. And if you have no objection, I'd like to get him briefed up and lined up to go in on this instead of just putting hard. I'm afraid if we lead off around weekly, I think Hartman would have to be in it. But
I know
to get the thing off on the right foot, I'd like to start with a comment on these.
Well, he's willing. I mean, we want to remember there's a big gun and you want to pop it too often.
Oh no, but this is one that everybody's going to be watching.
Okay.
Really? Well, I have to assume so. It'll be the first consideration. See, we won't get the general revenue sharing and ways and means for another, I guess, 6 weeks probably, isn't it, George?
Could be before that. Depends, I suppose, somewhat on whether or not we can work out anything with metals. Have you had a chance to look at the various formulas that Harper and
O'Neill have talked to him about it, though, because I don't understand it all. It just seems to me that with the first hearing on the subject, that we would be wise to get Connolly to put it in context.
How does it work?
I think it looks better now than it did because we gave in on that extension business.
And this is a reorganization. Or is this
now,
to do with
oh, yes. That had to do with revenue.
Both. Oh, I see. A maintenance of average revenue. Sure, I see.
So that would be the fangs of a particular
lawyer counsel would be great to be able to, if you would.
All right, we'll see if
he knows that.
He's coming over this afternoon to talk about it.
He knows that part of the country, and he knows the farmers, and he knows sort of what you call it, reorganization and everything. He'd be an excellent guy to make a presentation if he's willing. But also, assuring that we're not going to send him up there every week.
Yeah.
Because that's not right. It's a waste of a good property. I haven't been back to him since the last time we talked because we're trying to see what kind of a proposal we can get up and how different formulas work and how they affect the various states and so forth. So I haven't wanted to.
You mean he's our over thing?
You are
those who sat with
us. Oh, I see.
Which is not done.
Our move, and we're easily waiting for us to present to him. The last time I talked to him, I just described the general approach, and we talked about it, and he liked it. So I said, well, I'd work on it some more, and I'd talk to you about it. And so I didn't know whether you would buy this kind of thing or not, but anyway, this was an effort to try to see if there wasn't some common ground, and that we'd try to develop something a little bit more specific so we could see how it affects this state and that state and so on.
George, look here. Isn't really the case this? Mills or Burns or anybody else ever come up with anything else of their own kind?
Right? Not really. Nothing.
Isn't that true? But then really, we just got to press ours. I mean, if that's the case, there it is. And if anybody's got a better thing, let's take it.
Burns has sort of hit the tax credits.
Oh, God.
I talked to Mel Laird at some last week about our problem with Burns.
Yeah, he knows him well.
And he's going to talk to him over the weekend and see if he could midwife some accommodation. I expect to hear from Mel.
Burns secretly flows into the hands of our political opponents here by sort of talking about it.
But now all of a sudden, do you think Mel will?
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe so.
See, we popped over there in response to his remark to you, where he said, you know, revenue sharing wasn't fully. So now, he said that to you one day, and sure, you sent me a memo, and we arrived in force, and sat down with him and said, okay, what's wrong with it? What can we do better? Where are we wrong? And this and that, and kind of funny. And so we then got into a discussion about the committee problems, which is his strong suit. And he quickly sorted it out and said, well, I think John Burns is the key to this. He's probably not going to run for re-election. He's being very independent in his Congress. But the only way he said we can work this is for me to talk to him. So he says, I'll talk to him on the weekend. I'll be in touch with him. What we'll build toward, if we can, is a meeting with all the Republicans on the committee. Just talk out the issues, talk about the alternatives, wait for them, go into the detail, we're going to ask them to spend an afternoon with us. And then see at the end of that whether we don't at least have the rest of the Republicans with us, even if we can't get Burns. Maybe they can bring him along with the House help. So that's kind of our strategy on that side. Sure, bring these guys to bear on the merits. I think we can. So, a lot of problems, but it's just...
Well, it's basically on the merits, it's really a question of their... They don't have anything better, but they, therefore, are always unsure of being for anything. That's their problem. It's new. It's new.
I would say that Mill's readiness to agree to the sort of thing we talked about is a pretty clear indication that he sees...
Yeah.
That something has to be done about the area. Because by the time you say, all right, we're going to have a statement of purpose that's going to be as broad as all outdoors, and he accepts that, well, that's just accepting general revenue sharing. Whether the formulations that do more in the direction of need can be worked out satisfactorily, I don't know. But that's the other thing that he talks about.
First, we have to make a deal.
I got the medical thing in the next day or two. I might go health thing. And maybe Jerry Ford with him.
Try. Okay.
I've talked to Burns about this as well as Mill. Burns is not as enthusiastic about it as Mill is. Burns is just, he's very difficult to sort of giving him a compromise that would get him off the hook, and he won't take it. He keeps on the tax credit idea.
I think that's awfully irresponsible, isn't it? It's great business on the way. It's what he doesn't want to do. I'm not the second man of the committee.
Like I said, if Louis Morphe, who's next, Betts.
Will Betts do it?
Betts is the guy who's out seeking up and down the land for us. We've got him very firm on the board.
We've got about 15
members, 17.
Or 17
of these, and that's nice.
Okay.
Well, Alan Wallace is apparently coming inside Saturday.
Well, they set up it seemed at the time, I suppose, a good idea. They have some sort of a foundation kind of guy that teach teachers to teach the two-party system. Now, that's a silly to have, right? Another two-party system. But nevertheless, they're all in this tangent, so I got a prison. Go on outside of them. They're nice people. They're all our friends. Bob Knapp, probably living in my group. You get that guy fired, George, in San Francisco. Get him out of there. And by now, I want to ricochet all around the EOB, and I want to ricochet all around the HEW. Let people know that when they don't produce this administration, somebody's ass is kicked out. This will be the first person we fired except Hickel. God damn it. Those are the bad guys. The guys down in the woodwork. We gotta get one. This guy goes.